Valentine, we thank you for this day that we can come to your presence with thanksgiving and worship. We thank you that we can gather your presence in this way because you have first reached out to us, because you sent your only begotten Son to this world to die for our sins, to bear the punishment that was due to us. Father, we recognize that we are unworthy of your love, your grace. We are unworthy of all that you have done for us and all that you have in store for us. Father, we thankful that we can be your children. We thank you for every provision you have made for our lives. We thank you that you watch over our lives, guide us, and allow us to go through various situations according to your perfect wisdom and love. And yet we also know that often we are not able to perceive what you are seeking to accomplish in our lives, how to cooperate with you, how to be thankful. But we confess that at times we have been slow to learn. At times we even murmur and grumble. Father, we ask that you forgive us. We ask, Father, that you will help us as we continue to reflect through life's situations and what you have allowed us to go through, that you will grant that we may have the right attitude, perspective, that we will not only be able to understand in our minds, but Holy Spirit, with which we go through life situations, maybe in fellowship with you, with the right heart attitude, and able to learn all that you desire of us. So Father, we entrust our time to your loving hands, and we ask that you will please to speak to us by your Spirit. You will help us that the truth may become clear to us, and that it may become part of our lives, that our attitudes, our posture may be pleasing in your sight, and that we may be able to grow into maturity, that Christ may indeed be formed in us, that we may be faithful, effective servants of the Lord, that we'll be able to face the future with joy, with confidence in the Lord, to know that we have walked faithfully with you, that we work out our lives well before you, and that you do approve of our lives. So Father, we entrust this time to your hands, and we pray that you protect us and keep us from the evil one. You don't allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us, disturb us, distract us, or in any way to hinder us from perceiving, understanding, receiving, and hearkening to whatever you desire to speak to us. For all this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration on the subject of appearance and reality, the 26th message, and the second major category of situations. The subtopic for today is learning from situations and contexts we go through. Learning from situations and context we go through. What situations and contexts are conducive, helpful for our growth and development? Learning from situations and contexts we go through. What situations and contexts are conducive, helpful for our growth and development? The main issue that we are considering today is something that is clearly relevant to each one of us, because all of us do go through various situations. The Lord places us in different contexts, and there are also various situations and contexts we go through which may not seem to be conducive or helpful for our growth and development, or at first appearance, or even sometimes even after we've gone through it for quite some time. And at times we may become rather upset or disturbed or wonder why we have to go through all these things, and we wish to get out of them as quickly as possible. Yet in reality, these situations and contexts may actually be rather helpful and important for us to go through them. That is, if we go through them properly and we learn well what the Lord desires of us. On the other hand, there may be situations and contexts which may appear to be more conducive for our growth and development, and we may prefer to be in such contexts, but they may actually not be so suitable and helpful for us. God's thoughts and ways in this matter can at times be quite different from what those who are involved in them may tend to think, or what we may tend to prefer, or what we may expect. This is a very important issue, and it's helpful for us to see clearly and to understand the whole attitude and approach, perspective that we should adopt. In fact, in my considerations of this subject of appearance and reality, and considering the subject of situation, this is actually one main point that is of concern in my heart, as to how we view situations we go through and how we go through them properly. Not just recognizing what ought to be, but actually how we go through them with the Lord. The whole attitude, perspective that we adopt. In this regard, the context and situations that Moses and Joseph went through, and to which God saw it fitting to train them, would be rather helpful for us to reflect upon and to learn, so that on our part we also learn how to adopt right attitude and posture as we also go through various situations and contexts that the Lord may see fitting for us to go through. And there have been a few previous messages preached on Joseph and Moses, even in this series on appearance and reality, and I intend to use them as background, so that I will not go into various details that we've covered in some of these messages, though the more clearly relevant aspects I will also bring up today. But bearing in mind the background that we've already covered, we will now go on to consider, first of all, Moses. Let us turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Verses 21 to 23. Just these few verses. Verse 20 talks about the birth of Moses, and verse 21 says, after he had been exposed, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, he entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. When he was approaching the age of 40, so we see here that for 40 years, Moses was raised in Egypt, nurtured and educated as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Verse 21. And verse 22 tells us that he was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. Well educated, the best in the land was provided for him for his learning, and tells us that he was a man of power in words and deeds. So here is a man whom generally people would regard as one who is well trained, a man who is capable. That's how many would view Moses at his time. And at a superficial level, or outwardly, it would appear that the 40 years in Egypt should have equipped and prepared Moses for effective service. And also, if he required further training, development, preparation for any great task, it may seem that to continue on in this context would be rather conducive and suitable. Whatever was needed to train him, he could have access to them. The status that he had, wealth, educators, whatever may be needed. It may seem that this would be a very suitable context to prepare Moses for whatever great task that may lie ahead. But on both counts, we find that it's not so. In regards to being ready and equipped for effective service, we find that at this point of time, Moses was still rather unready. You are still not properly equipped, not properly trained for God's service. And as you see in the past, and this context as we read on, we find that at the end of 40 years, when he visited the brethren, he made a significant blunder, and as a result, he had to flee. In fact, he actually had to flee from Pharaoh in fear, and he fled into the wilderness. So, in regards to the other aspect, that if you require further training, it may seem as if, it may seem that continuation in this kind of context would be rather conducive and suitable for Moses. We find that God had other plans for Moses. Not only did he flee to the wilderness, he was to remain in the wilderness for 40 years. A context which may seem not so suitable for Moses' development, but in reality, it proved to be rather helpful. We tend to think about it or look at it at first sight. 40 years in the desert and looking after sheep may seem rather unsuitable for training and developing a person like Moses, especially if we bear in mind that he was later to assume leadership responsibilities. For leadership role, to spend 40 years in the wilderness looking after sheep, and also to consider the great task that God intends him to shoulder and to accomplish, doesn't seem a suitable or conducive place to prepare Moses for such a task in the wilderness looking after sheep. The great task of leading out the whole nation of Israel, at that time it was a great multitude, the whole nation of Israel to be led out of Egypt and from bondage and under a Pharaoh who was against them, and as we saw and it's recorded in the scriptures how there had to be a great confrontation with Pharaoh, and also later on to exercise leadership over a very difficult people, obstinate, often rebellious, murmuring, grumbling, to shoulder responsibilities of leadership over them for 40 years and under rather difficult circumstances in the wilderness. But generally, as we read through the records, we find that Moses fared rather well during those 40 years. And God did equip and prepare Moses in this context, in the wilderness, for this great task ahead. And in fact, we know that the scriptures regard Moses as one of the outstanding servants of the Lord. And the Jews also have a very high regard for him. He also appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration, together with Elijah, he appeared with Lord Jesus talking to him. So Moses is an outstanding character in the scriptures for his character, his faithfulness, his meekness, and the way he served the Lord faithfully under very difficult circumstances. And as we've seen in the previous messages, that after the 40 years in the wilderness, Moses became a changed man. Although there isn't a lot of details, but as we read through, we can see that there's significant evidence of changes that came over Moses. Changes for the good, for the better, in the direction of readiness for his life work. Although he still had a lot to learn, and it's quite clear that as he embarked on the great task, he continued to learn, but he was already quite ready. The Lord had deemed him ready for the task and called him after 40 years in the wilderness, in the incident of the burning bush. But just to highlight one aspect or one point regards to the readiness of Moses, it's helpful to see this way, that the crucial aspects of training and development for Moses, just as for each one of us, would be still in the areas of a fuller and more accurate understanding and knowledge of God, and also understanding of ourselves, and the inward qualities, that dealing with the self-life, and also whatever pride, self-confidence, impulsiveness that may be present. In Moses, there's evidence of impulsiveness, and there may be some aspects of pride and self-confidence that may have come to him through the experience in Egypt, all the learning he had, the status, the position he had. But whatever of these that may be present, we are not clear to what degree they may be present, but whatever they may be present, these are important to be properly dealt with. For us, these are also important areas that the Lord needs to deal with us. Whatever pride, whatever form of self-confidence. But there are many other aspects of the self-life that the Lord also wants to deal with us, deal in our lives, so that we can be more ready and fit for the Lord's service, but also our own personal relationship and fellowship with God. So these are the crucial areas. And there are indications that after the 40 years, there were positive, definite changes in Moses' life in this direction for the better. For example, we find that the scriptures record and highlighted the humility, the meekness of Moses. As we read through the records, how he responded when the people turned against him, how he threw himself in the presence of God. But there were also actual words of description, how Moses was very humble, that he was more humble than any man on earth. This is especially recorded in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. This was in the context where Miriam and Aaron, brother and sister, Aaron was rather close to Moses, not just by blood, but also in their service together. And yet they spoke against Moses. In verse 2, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? In this kind of context, it was recorded how the man Moses, very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. In the next context, in the Numbers chapter 14 also, in relation to the spies coming back and their bad report, the congregation wept and they grumbled against Moses, verse 2, against Moses and Aaron. And they lamented, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? It's better for us to return to Egypt and so on. Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. In this context, we find Moses and Aaron, verse 5, fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. These are indications of humility and meekness, and not just a response in the flesh to assert himself in a fleshly way. Learn how to depend upon God, to cry out to God, to depend upon God, to exercise faith in God, to learn to be prayerful, and the development of his character. During the years in Egypt, these qualities were not sufficiently effectively developed. And God saw it fitting for Moses to spend 40 years in the desert to learn and to be trained. There's evidence that these qualities were not effectively developed. Just through some short verses we can look at, I said there are not a lot of details, but pointing in that direction, you see a different Moses, especially in the area of prayerfulness, reliance on God rather than self-confidence, in the area of impulsiveness. For example, we turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 11 gives us the context. Moses had grown up, he was about 40 years at this time, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Verse 12 says, "So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Then the next day he saw two Hebrews fighting against each other, and he says, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Verse 14, and he said, 'Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and said, 'Surely the matter has become known.' When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian." As we read through this short narrative, the impression that comes through is not one who is rather prayerful over an issue like this. It's an issue of significance. Not only did he intervene in the situation, but he actually struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. It's quite a significant step to take, to kill someone. But how did he go about it? There's no indication here that he had a deep sense of fellowship with God, or that this is what the Lord wanted him to do. But verse 12 says he looked this way and that, and he saw there's no one around. Basically, the impression that comes through is someone who is relying on himself, his own thinking, his own judgment of situation and circumstances. He just looked this way, that way, and he felt that he could kill the Egyptian without others coming to know about it, and then he struck down the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. But later on, when the next day, when he intervened again, and the remark was made, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" He became afraid. If he had been living his life in fellowship with the Lord, then at this point of time also, he must learn to trust God to go through the situations. So the thrust of it in this narrative that comes through is in the direction of Moses acting basically on his own, impulsive. He saw a situation, he felt he should intervene, he looked around and he thought he could act in that situation, and he went ahead. And after that, he was fearful and he had to flee. There's another verse in the Acts chapter 7, verse 25, on the same incident. In Acts chapter 27, or rather, Acts chapter 7, verse 25, the incident where he struck down and killed the Egyptian. Verse 25 says, and he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. So according to his own thinking, he supposed that his brethren understood, but they did not. He supposed, but he was wrong. The other is, he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. Now it's true that God did have plans for Moses and related to the deliverance of the Israelites and through Moses. God wanted to use him. God had a role for him. But as you read through what happened, it's quite clear this is not the way that God wanted Moses to go about delivering the Israelites. And also not the right timing or the right manner of going about it. And that's why he had to flee and be in the wilderness for 40 years. So we see Moses at this point of time quite different from what was recorded later on after the 40 years in the wilderness. So the 40 years in the wilderness may appear to be a place where it's rather difficult to learn anything. Nothing much happens in the wilderness. But God saw it fitting for Moses to spend 40 years in the desert to learn and to be trained by the Lord. This doesn't mean that the context in Egypt is not helpful at all. We need not draw that conclusion, because in Egypt itself, understanding of Egypt and perhaps even some aspects of the education that he went through can also be helpful for his role in the future. But the inward qualities within Moses and his knowledge of God and how to trust God, to depend on God and not act on his own, all these are primary and they must be properly developed. Apart from inward qualities and knowledge of God, dependence on God, being properly nurtured, developed, if these are not so, then such knowledge that he may acquire in Egypt and the facilities available to him, not only will they not be very helpful, they can in fact have a negative effect upon him, because they can promote self-confidence and also fleshly ways. This is also true of our lives. Various things that we go through and learn, in themselves, they may not necessarily be positive or negative. They can be helpful if our character is properly developed, the inward qualities are developed, but if not, then some of these other skills, knowledge that we acquire can actually hinder us in our walk with God and promote self-confidence and thinking that we are doing well. And basically, it's just an expression of flesh and promotes pride in the person. Then if we consider the wilderness and the environment in Egypt, we can see quite clearly there's quite a contrast in these two circumstances. The wilderness in contrast to the environment under which Moses grew up in Egypt, with all the plenty and the status as Pharaoh's daughter's son. But the contrast, having spent 40 years in Egypt and under those circumstances and environment, and then now having to spend the 40 years in the wilderness, they can also be helpful for Moses to see even more clearly that he cannot depend on his personal capability or status or knowledge of this world. Because while he was in Egypt, he had all the status, all the learning, and yet in that context, the way he conducted himself, the mistake he made, and the consequences, and how he actually had to flee. And later on in the wilderness itself, as a lot more and more began to teach him, and as he grew in the Lord in the wilderness, this can come through even more strongly to him, to see that in the end, it is not just what this world can teach him or what appears to be very favorable circumstances from a worldly point of view. And this is not the crux of it. the contrast can help him to see that in the end, it is not personal capabilities and knowledge of this world that's going to enable him to be effective in his service unto God. But what it means to learn to walk with God, be trained by the Lord, and to develop good attitudes and inward qualities. And that this is so even if there are positive attitudes of desire to serve the Lord. Because as we see when Moses made the blunder and had to flee, it wasn't because of bad attitude that he did it. He thought it was in line with his understanding of service to God, helping the brethren. The Lord wanted him to deliver the brethren, but he was not ready, and that was not the way the Lord wanted him to go about it. So even with positive attitude or the motivation may be good in the sense of his desire to serve God, but all these are not enough. A point that is helpful to consider also is that even the very experience of the blunder and the consequences that followed, which God allowed to take place, it may seem a rather crushing blow on Moses in his position and then having to flee. A rather unpleasant experience and also such long-term consequences as a result of it having to spend 40 years in the wilderness may seem rather painful, devastating, and also from such a high position, status, a context of plenty, riches, honor, now becoming a fugitive in the wilderness looking after sheep. But though it may appear a very traumatic experience and a crushing blow, it actually can be a rather helpful experience and a situation to go through. Because even the very blunder itself can be helpful to destroy the confidence in himself and also the confidence in his own capability and his knowledge. I'm not saying that a mistake is a good thing or blunder is a good thing, but sometimes the Lord allows his children to make mistakes which may appear a rather devastating experience to go through. It can be very difficult, painful, but even the very mistake itself and the consequences that follow and the pain, it can be a rather helpful experience if there is a proper response after the mistake is made. A deep recognition of the mistake, why it happened, and how it need not happen that way, what to learn from it, and how to be a better person in the future. The impact can be very deep. The lessons can be very deep. My point here is that on the surface of it, we may all tend to shrink away from pain, and even more so if it's in the context of a mistake that's made, and we become rather depressed and discouraged. That we made a mistake, and as a result, many painful things come our way. But the point I want to make here is this, that even in the context of mistakes, God in His grace can have deep lessons for us to learn. In fact, precisely because of deficiencies in our lives, generally it's because of deficiencies that the mistakes occur. Especially mistakes that do point to some kind of weakness, failure on our part. And the seriousness of the mistake as well as the depth of the pain can actually increase the depth of our learning. Not that it has to be that way, but and I say it doesn't have to be that way, I mean that in a way it's good if we need not learn in that way. But sometimes with many of us, it tends to be that way. We tend to be rather slow to learn, careless. Even areas that we have some recognition that is not well, not good, but we fail to respond well to God, deeply to God, until not allow something quite serious to happen with quite painful or serious consequences. In that context, as we cry out to the Lord, we may learn in you. And so sometimes the Lord allows us to make mistakes, for failures to come to our lives with painful, serious consequences, for us to learn the lessons deeply. Sometimes because we are stubborn, or sometimes because we are complacent, sometimes we are careless and we continue to be so. And the consequences at the first not so serious doesn't jolt us sufficiently to take more definite steps. In many areas of our lives, we are slow to learn, slow to respond to God. And the Lord sometimes allows things to happen to us, to awaken us, to move us, to cause a deep impact on our lives. Because otherwise, it's difficult for us to learn properly, to respond properly. But I said it's not the best way, but at times it happens this way. But my point is that we need not be discouraged, even after failures have taken place. Not that they are good. We should try to avoid failures. But if we have failed, let us not fail again by failing to learn deeply what we can. So instead of being discouraged, through failures, God can have deep things to teach us. Areas of weaknesses, or areas of personal desires, character deficiencies, or sometimes wrong attitudes that are quite deep-seated, quite important to be changed. Build discipline. And until these are properly, effectively dealt with, we cannot be effective servants of the Lord, or enter into deep fellowship with God, and many other things that the Lord may desire to teach us, we may not be ready to learn. So they need to be dealt with, and we need to learn these things. And go on now to consider the second example of Joseph. We see that likewise, Joseph, as we have considered in times past, he was sold as a slave into a foreign land in Egypt. A very unpleasant situation to be in. And later on, even worse, he became a prisoner, sent to prison. Now, the context of being a slave in a foreign land, and after that, be thrown to prison, be a prisoner. Now, this is not man's idea of a good, helpful situation or helpful experiences to go through. And this is especially so for the person who's going through it. You are the one who's going through it. If someone is going through it, you may say, well, good for you, there are some things you can learn. But considering ourselves going through situations like this, straight away, it's not man's idea. And what a person would normally choose for himself, this good thing, it's good for me to go through these things. And a person going through situations like this, not necessarily exactly as a slave or a prisoner, but the principle behind it, such unpleasant experiences, and we know a slave, he doesn't have the liberty that we have, and at times can be ill-treated, and prisoner, worse, treated as a criminal. A person under such circumstances can be easily discouraged. You know, you also think through the way this journey progress. From being someone whom the father loved so deeply, Jacob, as you know, loved Joseph so much, then sent into a foreign land away from home and as a slave. And then, not only that, after that, you know, being a slave is bad enough. He was thrown into prison, and not for his own sins, but in fact because he was being true to God. And he didn't succumb to the temptations that came from his master's wife. It was actually for that reason that he was thrown into prison, for righteousness' sake. Now for us, as we go through life situations, sometimes we suffer because of our own foolishness, sins. Already we can be discouraged and be unhappy. But if we go through situations are already very difficult, and then it becomes worse because we are faithful to the Lord, then we may become a bit shaken and wonder why these things are taking place, why does it have to happen to us, to go to such unconducive situations as it may appear. Go to prison, it appears such an unconducive situation. Now walk with God, our service to God, our growth, our development, it doesn't look a conducive place. But in the story, the record of the life of Joseph, we know that it's quite clear that it was God in His sovereignty who allowed Joseph to go through all these things. And the scriptures clearly record, we spend time to consider it, that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him with approval. The Lord was with him, blessing him and what he went through. The Lord's hand was upon his life. The Lord was with him. But though the situation may not be appear conducive or helpful context to grow, to develop, to be in, as we reflect on what Joseph went through, we can see helpfulness, meaningfulness of what he went through. Briefly, we look at some of them. This is to help us also to be prayerful so that we not too quickly conclude that the situations that we are in, which may appear not conducive, may actually be rather helpful and meaningful for us to go through, even though we may not immediately recognize it. But it's important that we not react in that situation and adopt a negative attitude. As we look at Joseph and what he went through, we can quite clearly see, as we look at it from an objective distance, that Joseph should not be reactive, he should not become discouraged, but he must continue to trust God, to learn from the Lord, to learn through the situations he went through. Well, we know how to look at it in that way. Let us also learn to adopt that for our own lives. So there are a few aspects which are meaningful in what Joseph went through, although it's a rather painful, unpleasant kind of experience. A, even the brothers, for the brothers to sell him into Egypt is of course a very painful experience. Your own brothers treating you in that kind of way, and then to be sold as a slave to Egypt. But actually, that was a positive step in the direction of God's purpose for Moses' life, moving in the direction of Egypt. But Joseph may not understand at that time, but it's actually already a step in that direction. God in His sovereignty allowed it. He was moving in that direction. Later, Joseph was able to say and tell his brothers that God sent me. He's sent in the direction of the Lord's purpose. And then as a slave, he then went into prison. But there was again another step in the direction of the Lord's purpose for Moses, for Joseph. Because it was there in the prison from which he then entered into Pharaoh's presence, and from there to exaltation as ruler over the land of Egypt, and the fulfillment of God's purpose to grant relief to many and to administer the land in the context of famine that came upon the land of Egypt. So just briefly look at Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 to 8. It's not clear when Joseph began to perceive these things, but we know generally his attitude was good, and the Lord was with him, the approval of the Lord was upon his life. But at this point of time, he was able to see these things more clearly. I said not clear at what point of time, to what degree he was able to see along the way. But chapter 45, verse 5. He told the brothers. In verse 4, he disclosed himself that I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. They sold him into Egypt, he says. Verse 5, he says, but now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. You sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. The sovereignty of God in the situation. And God had a positive reason for allowing Joseph to go there. In fact, in this context, to say God permitted Joseph to be sold into Egypt seems to me, to put it rather mildly, because the word here is God sent me. That God not only allowed Joseph, but God actually His hand was upon the situation. God wanted Joseph to be in Egypt one way or another. God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. A very severe famine. And God has sent Joseph there to preserve life. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. All this within the plan of God. And now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Actually, it was the brothers who sent Joseph to Egypt. But why is it Joseph? It was not you who sent me, but God. The brothers is sending them. They did sell Joseph as a slave. But here, Joseph is talking about the emphasis of it, the whole perspective. But actually, he was looking more at the situation from ultimately what actually was happening was God being in control and God wanting Joseph to be in Egypt. And so he put it this form: it's not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. And it's also through Moses going to Egypt and the way he was exalted and become ruler in Egypt. But finally also the whole family went down to Egypt, and there the Israelites multiplied and grew as a nation in the land of Egypt. One verse in chapter 50, verse 20. Chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph again talking to his brothers. He says, "And as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve." We see here in chapter 50, verse 20 of Genesis, Joseph talking about the same thing. The intentions of the brothers were evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result. The brothers may have their own designs, but God also has his own plans. And what was happening to Joseph was in accordance with the plan of God to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. From here we can see that it illustrates an important principle that we should hold on to, especially in times of great difficulties. And that is that if we are faithful to God, we are faithful and walking with the Lord, then we need not be discouraged whatever may happen to us. If we are faithful and walking with the Lord, many kinds of things may happen to us, but we need not be discouraged. Whatever may happen, not only we need not be discouraged, but we can recognize that we will continue to make progress and move in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes for our lives. And this is true whatever may be happening to us. But the main thing is, are we faithful? Are we really walking with God? Events may take place, people may do all kinds of things to us, but if we are faithful, not only will there not be negative effects upon us, not only we need not be discouraged, but let us recognize the sovereignty of God. That God, or people may have their ideas. Events happen to us may appear to be coincidence or out of control, but God is sovereign. He has his plans for our lives. And being the sovereign God, we can trust him and entrust our lives to him, that we will make progress not only on our personal development, but our lives will continue to move in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes for our lives. And isn't this what we are deeply concerned about? Our development, and also that the Lord's will, his purposes be fulfilled in our lives. And if we are faithful, walking with the Lord, we can be sure that this will be taking place. Whatever may be the outward appearance of things, it may appear rather discouraging. It may appear as if we are being thrust into a situation that is not conducive, not helpful, negative for us. But as we see for Joseph, even though sold as a slave in the land of Egypt and they thrown into prison, wrongfully treated by the brothers, wrongly accused, badly treated by his master's wife, but he was moving in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purpose. And the life of Joseph illustrates to us this important principle. And this is a truth that we should learn to recognize deeply. For all those who earnestly desire to walk the Lord, to serve the Lord, it's helpful for us to grasp this truth firmly, not just in our minds, but deeply in our hearts. Because as we seek to walk with the Lord, even if generally we are faithful, we know that many difficulties will come our way. Hardships, difficulties, and at times we may appear a little helpless. We feel as if we are in a trap. Whether the events, the context we are in, or what people may seem to be doing to us during such times, it's very important for us to affirm this principle definitely. To express our faith in the Lord, that He is sovereign, His hand is upon our lives, that the Lord will see us through, not only that we can grow in that context, but also to trust the Lord that His purpose for our lives will continue to be fulfilled, that is actually progress we make, the direction is there, if we continue to be faithful to the Lord. And this is true whatever may be our appearance of things. And our appearance of things can at times appear very discouraging. The future may appear bleak. But God is sovereign. He is still on the throne. B. Still on Joseph. We find that sold as a slave into Egypt. He was as a slave that he entered Potiphar's household and assumed responsibilities of management of Potiphar's household and also all that he owned, all that Potiphar owned. This is recorded in Genesis 39, verse 4. We will not turn to it, it's not really necessary. We've looked at this previously. Later on also, he was thrown into prison, which, as you saw earlier, also appeared to be getting worse, thrown into prison. But it was also in the context of the prison that he was put in charge. In that context, in the jail, the chief jailer also recognized the Lord was with him and put him in charge of the prisoners. Now, if you reflect for a while, we can see that both these experiences are rather helpful to prepare Joseph for rulership and administration. To be in charge of the household, management of Potiphar's household, we don't know how large it is. His household and all that he owned, he had servants, he had maybe an estate, he had workers. And Joseph was in charge of all these things, and later on also in the jail. These are actually rather helpful experiences for Joseph to go through, preparing him for rulership, for administration over the whole land of Egypt. As we reflect on this, it also helps us to recognize this, that sometimes we may not understand why we are going through certain experiences. Joseph may not have understood at that point of time, thrown, or rather sold to Egypt as a slave, then later thrown to prison. At that time, he may not fully understand why these things are taking place in his life. And sometimes we do not understand why we are going through certain experiences, certain contexts, certain situations, why God is allowing us to go through all these things. But if God sees it fitting for us to go through, and this is the only qualification that counts, an important qualification, if God sees it fitting for us to go through, then we must prayerfully go through it well. Look to the Lord and to learn well whatever He desires to teach us. But that is the qualification. If it is fitting for us to go through, if God sees it fitting, we should come out of it if we realize that God doesn't want us to be in a situation. But whatever God sees fitting for us to go through, and sometimes in our walk with God, as far as we can understand, we are faithful to Him. And there are some contexts where in one sense we may feel as if that we can't help. We have to be in that situation. And sometimes you may then lament because it seems a very trying thing, and may even appear that negative effects on our lives are not conducive for our development. But if we are faithful in a situation we must go through, we know that God has allowed it, and He sees it fitting for us to go through, this principle will apply. And at times, we do not fully understand why we are going through it, the significance of it. But we must trust the Lord, look to Him, and ask Him to teach us whatever He desires us to learn. The significance, the meaning, the usefulness of it all may become clearer later. Sometimes we can already perceive it as we look to the Lord, trust Him. We can already begin to perceive the meaning, the usefulness of it. But sometimes we may not fully appreciate it. But let us remember, God in His perfect wisdom, He knows what is good for us and what the future holds. And He seeks to prepare His servants according to His omniscience and perfect wisdom. See, as a slave and prisoner, straight away the thoughts that come to our mind is hardship. And what Joseph went through is not only hardship but unjust treatment, unjustly treated by his brothers, unjust treatment in being sent to the prison, so on. He must have gone through much hardship and difficulties, and also a time where he was separated from his own father, and not much indication of people who will be able to really be supportive of him, help him to go through that time, a difficult time that he went through. But though it was hardship, it was unreason, unjust treatment that he had to receive and go through, though unpleasant and difficult, then we can see that these experiences can be rather helpful for Joseph. Of course, it may not be helpful if his attitudes are not right. But if his attitudes are right, and generally we've seen his attitudes are right, we can see that they are actually also rather helpful experiences for him to go through. Because it will help him then to be more understanding of the plight of the poor and the oppressed and became a ruler in Egypt. Because there are many others also who suffer hardship, who suffer unjust treatment, who go through all kinds of oppression, and the poor. And he was at the very lowest in society, as a slave, as a prisoner. In all these contexts, you reflect upon it. Personal experience going through all these things can be rather helpful for Joseph to be more understanding of people, the hardship, the plight, the unjust treatment that they go through, to help him to become a better ruler and also better exercise authority, because he is going to exercise much authority, to understand people and the struggle and so on. All this will help him to exercise authority with understanding, with love, with consideration, and understanding also the poor and the oppressed, to be able to identify with them. All these are very helpful, very important experiences for him to be a good ruler and to exercise authority well. And also, there was much exposure to different kinds of people at very close quarters, living amongst them. As a slave, in Potiphar's household, all kinds of different people, and also in a prison. Different kinds of people in prison. Some may be hardcore criminals. There can be others who have been jailed there because of wrong accusations or exploitation or bad treatment by others who are powerful in the land, whatever reasons it may be. Different ones in the prison. First-hand experience of this can be rather helpful for Joseph to learn to understand people, character of people, the ways and the needs of people, why people do different things and why they end up in prison, for example. All these can be rather helpful experiences for Joseph. D. These experiences also can be rather helpful in drawing Joseph closer to God, because we can draw close to God under all circumstances. But especially during times of difficulty, and in that kind of form, in a foreign land, as a slave, as a prisoner, is an incentive. It helps to draw Joseph closer to God. He already had a love for God, a knowledge of God, relationship with God. But all this can be helpful. And especially if he didn't have, doesn't seem to be anywhere else for him to return to. And I said, it doesn't mean that we have to be in such context before we can draw closer to God. But in our own personal experiences, we also have found that in times of crisis, sufferings, great difficulties, it tends to draw us closer to God. So, my point is that even though the circumstances, the situation, the context that Joseph went through may appear to be not very conducive for his development, it actually has a helpful aspect. It actually helps him to draw closer to God, to learn to depend on God. Such circumstances, very needful for him to depend on God. Also to learn to trust God and the meaning of faith in God. Sometimes we believers can carelessly talk about trusting God when circumstances are favorable in their eyes, things are comfortable. But what it means to really trust God even when all the outward circumstances appear to be against us, and circumstances that may appear to shake our confidence in God, why God allows us to go through all these kinds of contexts to help to develop and deepen true faith in God, trusting God for who He is, regardless of circumstances, to know that God is unchanging in His character, in His perfection, in His ways, in His being, His love for us, and also learning to trust the sovereignty of God. Trusting the sovereignty of God from one aspect is as he goes through the situation. To learn to trust God's sovereignty is very important for Joseph while he went through the experiences of the slave and prisoner. But the other is later. As he comes out of the whole thing, when he became a ruler in the land of Egypt, as he reflects back, it can help him to a deeper appreciation of the meaning of sovereignty of God and what he went through, the wisdom of God. So though it was difficult, it appears to be not a conducive, helpful situation to go through, we can see that there can be all these helpful aspects in Joseph's development and also the important area of his own character development. What you've been considering about these various points, they all are helpful in developing the spiritual life of Joseph as well as his character development as he responds to different situations in fellowship with God, and how he learns to understand, to relate with people, how to exercise his responsibilities. So, from what we have reflected on the meaning of what Joseph went through, we can say that hardship and painful experiences, if it is part of faithful walk with God, can be rather helpful context for our learning and our character development. But I'll put it in another way, that even when there are failures, it's clear, even clearer, it is part of faithful walk with God. But even if there are failures and the hardships and pain come our way, even if there are failures, if we are open to God, the context of hardship and painful experiences, they can still be very helpful context of learning and for character development, for understanding of other people and their struggles, as we learn to go through our own struggles. And this will help us to learn to identify with other people and what they go through. And all this will be very, very helpful, not only for character development, but for effective ministry in time to come. Often the deepest lessons are learned in the context of the deepest pains. And so, just mention 2 points for our learning and reflection. First, concentration should be on being faithful to God. Be faithful to the Lord, and then trust the Lord to train us in whatever context He sees fitting for us to go through. The main concentration on our part should be to be faithful, and then we learn to trust God to train us in whatever context He sees fitting for us to go through. If God is wise, He knows what is helpful context for us to go through. But we must have the right attitude so that we can learn properly in fellowship with God, and trust God to train us, not context of our own choosing, of what we prefer, or what appears to be better, but trust God that whatever He sees fitting for us to go through, He has His plans and purposes for our lives, and He will train us if on our part we are faithful, our attitudes are good. Second point related to the first is that context and situations we go through may not be our idea of good, suitable context. I emphasize this point because my concern is many of us may go through many situations and contexts which God sees fitting for us to go through, and He has important things for us to learn. But because we do not go through them well, our views are not good, we fail to learn properly, be properly trained by the Lord. So this point is important. It must become a part of our lives. Context and situations we go through may not be our idea of good, suitable context, but whatever the Lord sees fitting for us to go through is helpful. They will be helpful. In fact, they can be very helpful and very significant if we go through them properly. But that is a very important qualification. If we go through them properly, the Lord may have designs for our lives, for our well-being, but if we don't go through them properly, then not only will we not learn properly, we may even go downhill. We can become discouraged. The evil one can then put all kinds of thoughts in our minds, and our lives can then be in shambles. So we must learn to go through them properly. This is clearly so if the things take place in the context of faithful walk with God. For example, Joseph being thrown to prison as a result of being faithful to God, not falling into temptation, he was thrown into prison. Now, that kind of context, that kind of walk with God, then it's clearly so, will be very helpful and significant, whatever the context we go through, and especially trying difficult situations. But it can be so, in other words, it can still be helpful, even if there are failures in our lives. This you can see, for example, as far as you can see, Moses did make a mistake in the way he acted in that situation. There was a failure. But even if there are failures that do take place in our lives, but here an important point is the general direction of our life. The general attitude of Moses was positive, and also after the mistake, that even if there are some failures in our lives, we must continue to exercise faith and to learn from the Lord. I emphasize this point about failures because, again, in some of the contexts that we go through, we saw just now that though Moses acted in a way that was not in accordance with what God desires of him, but in spite of it, through it, there were significant things that the Lord could teach him. But if you are not careful, then we may sometimes be accused by the evil one in such a strong manner, and if our own approach to it, our own understanding of it is not clear, then at times we may think that if we are faithful, yes, we can learn. But all these situations are in it because of my mistake, and so we can become very depressed. That I'm going through all this because in the past I've done this, this, and this. That's why now I'm in this situation. Or for a particular mistake I've made, I'm in that situation, a particular failure. But it's also helpful for us to realize that it need not be that way. Even if there are mistakes we've made, if you're truly repentant, return to the Lord, even in the midst of mistakes that we've done, from there onwards, situations that we go through, not only is it possible to learn at times, it can be very significant things that we can still learn. As we saw, Moses what he could have learned from the mistake he made, and also falling from the mistake, he's having to flee into the wilderness. The Lord continued to develop him, train him, prepare him for the task ahead. It's important, the right response to the Lord, and continue to exercise faith. But remembering the qualification I mentioned earlier, there's a situation that we see the Lord sees it fitting for us to go through. So unless we see that the Lord wants us to come out of the situation, then yes, we seek to come out of it. But if the Lord sees it fitting for us to go through, then we can trust the Lord to sustain us and also to train us to develop our lives. Further reflections and the appreciation of the different situations and contexts. Further reflection, appreciation of the different situations and contexts through which God trained and dealt with Moses and Joseph. Further reflection and appreciation of the different situations and contexts through which God trained and dealt with Moses and Joseph. In other words, the point here I'm trying to put across is that there are different situations and contexts that they went through. 1A, these are not so clearly stated in scriptures, but trying to reflect, appreciate the meaning of what they went through. One thing we notice that we consider the life of Joseph, we notice that in the earlier period of his life, as far as you can see, it appears that he's not so exposed to the world and the affairs of his life. Especially if you bear in mind that he was so loved by his father Jacob, and hence be more sheltered under such circumstances. So for him, we can see that to prepare him for rulership, God sees it fitting for Joseph to go through those rather helpful experiences. He was not so exposed, so now he was thrust into the world, and you can say in a very raw kind of form, as a slave, and a foreign man, and later into prison. But earlier on, he was living a rather sheltered kind of life, not so much experience, so exposed to the ways of the world. So, you see the way the Lord allowed him to go through and dealt with him. But if you look at Moses, on the other hand, 1B. Moses, on the other hand, you see that it's likely that he had much exposure with the world. And he had gained much knowledge, much experience of the knowledge of this world and the affairs of this life. You notice how he was educated in all the learning of Egypt, and as Pharaoh's daughter's son, the kind of facilities available to him and the context of life in that circle, many of the things of this world, he had a lot of exposure to knowledge of this world. But his problem, Moses' problem, was a danger that he may rely on his knowledge of these things and his own capabilities. There was a problem, the danger of that. And there are indications that he relied on his own capability as he acted in that situation and had to flee. And so you see, God saw it fitting for Moses, after his blunder, to spend 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep, so that Moses could learn about man's helplessness, man's need of God, his own personal need of God, and how he should have no confidence in the flesh. Whatever he may have been exposed to in the world, whatever he may have learned, however learned were his teachers, the books, the facilities, he must learn the need to depend on God, his need of God, his helplessness, especially if he were to be involved in spiritual service unto God. There must be no confidence in the flesh. And so Moses found himself in the wilderness tending sheep for 40 years. 2A, Joseph was to rise to the highest status, office, and authority, and then Egypt. And at that time, that period of time, you know, Egypt was a rather powerful country. It may seem to us strange, or may appear, at first sight or at superficial level, appear to be strange or out of tune, out of place, for Joseph to go through the lowest status and position in society. God's intentions for him was to attain the highest status and office and authority. So generally we think about what would be suitable for him, we tend to think strange or out of tune, out of place, to prepare him that he were to go through the lowest status, lowest position in society, as a slave and prisoner. Although it appears that way, as you have reflected on it, we find that in reality, such experiences are actually rather helpful for Joseph in his later role. In other words, beyond the outward appearance of things, and what sometimes we may tend to think what is helpful as one the main thrust of what we are considering today is what is conducive for our divine preparation for service unto God. So sometimes men may have their own ideas, but as you reflect on what Joseph went through, you may tend to think, well, to prepare for office, authority, then to have some experience in that area will be helpful. But God saw it fitting for Joseph to go through the lower status and position, and we faithfully trust in the Lord. Whatever He sees us fitting to go through, we will learn to be properly equipped. Though it may not be man's idea of training. So in reality, though Joseph went through lower status and position in society as slave and prisoner, they were actually rather helpful to prepare him for the highest status, office, and authority, to help him to be a good ruler. To be, for Moses, the wilderness and tending sheep, it may seem to be a rather uneventful kind of life. It may seem to be rather unsuitable for leadership training, for shouldering of significant responsibilities. And so many things later he had to attend to, such a great, such a big nation, multitudes of Israelites. In fact, we saw later on his father-in-law saw that he was too tense, so many things to attend to, and advised him to have others to help him. So many things to attend to, and it may seem rather strange for him to go through such an uneventful kind of context, slow-moving, slow-paced kind of life in the wilderness. And for 40 years, it may seem to be not so suitable for leadership training, for the future responsibilities. But actually, as we reflect on what Moses went through and how he emerged later to be ready for his task, we can see that the context is actually rather helpful for Moses to quiet him down. Time for him to reflect over his life. Time for him to daily situations. Apparently uneventful, but actually walking with God is never uneventful. So the uneventful is how human beings normally tend to term such context. A time for him to reflect over, to learn how to trust God, not to be in a rush, not to be impulsive, but to learn in the many, many different contexts in the wilderness. So as I said, he appears uneventful, but there are also many things that he has to go through in the wilderness. But it's not so rush. Time for him to quiet him down, to reflect over his life, what it means to trust God, to walk with God, to learn from the Lord, that he can then later be ready for a taxing, hectic kind of life, many things to attend to. And likewise for ourselves, the Lord knows us, and we have different weaknesses, with different deficiencies, different needs, different areas of importance to learn and to develop. Although some areas are similar in one sense, like character development, but our areas of needs and even the character deficiencies are not all the same. So in our different weaknesses and deficiencies and needs and areas of positive development that are important to develop, and also has a bearing on the role that the Lord desires us to fulfill and the part He desires us to fulfill as members of the body of Christ, as Paul tells us, not all have the same function in comparison with the body, with eyes, nose and mouth. Not all are eyes or mouth. They have different roles that the Lord desires us to fulfill. So God in His wisdom, He placed us in different contexts to deal with the weaknesses and also to learn what is helpful, what is needful in our context. And in this regard, it's helpful also to remember that the Lord is not only dealing with weaknesses in our lives, but also the development of positive features and qualities. Not only to overcome the weaknesses, but to develop positive features and qualities. And so He leads us through various helpful experiences that we can overcome the weaknesses, recognize them, overcome them, and develop positive features so that we can be more effective servants of the Lord. So, some brief concluding remarks for all that we have been considering. But to pose it as a question to you for a reflection: do we want to grow, be equipped for effective service for the Lord? Now, these are questions which immediately all those who love the Lord will answer without hesitation, yes. Our primary concern for our lives, we want to grow, we want to be equipped for effective service unto the Lord. And do we not pray for growth? Do we not pray to the Lord to help us to grow effectively? I ask this because the answers are obvious to all those of us who love the Lord. But having recognized that this is so, then it follows that we mustn't be upset, nor murmur, nor discouraged. Whatever the Lord sees fitting for us to go through, as you've seen, whatever God is fitting for us to go through, in His wisdom, there are many things for us to learn, weaknesses to overcome, as well as positive qualities to develop. So under no circumstance should we become discouraged, upset, murmur, whatever the Lord sees fitting for us to go through. And we mustn't also just wait for such situations and contexts to pass by and wait for, inverted commas, better times to come. Sometimes we are that way. We try our best not to murmur, not to grumble. But we are just holding on and waiting, praying for better times to come. And I say better times in inverted commas, because it's better times according to our own thinking. But actually what we go through is according to God's perfect wisdom. It's good for us. It's actually conducive for our learning. But we are missing it all. If we get upset, discouraged, we do not have the right attitude, or we just simply wait for better times to come. Rather, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord who He is and His wisdom, and seek to learn well. Knowing the Lord and His wisdom has things for us to learn. Because, as I said, the qualification is whatever the Lord sees fitting for us to go through. If it is not, we come out of it, that's correct. But once we recognize it's fitting, the Lord is fitting for us to go through, rejoice in it and learn. Rejoice because we know there's meaning in it. The Lord is sovereignly undertaking the situation. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the situation that we are in, that we can learn. Not rejoice over the evil that can be taking place, but even if people may be doing negative things, there are some evil aspects in the situation, we can still rejoice in the Lord and rejoice that the Lord is training us and there are things important for us to learn. And that we can affirm our faith, our trust in God, our Heavenly Father. Emphasize our Heavenly Father because we know He is a Father who cares, and He is Heavenly Father, not a normal earthly father with limitations, but God Himself, that He is the perfect teacher. is the God of perfect wisdom and the trust in His sovereignty. But as idols, we check our attitudes and we seek to walk with Him. We can trust that God sovereignly undertakes and He knows what is good for us to go through and is seeking to train us. So do not try to avoid whatever the Lord wants us to go through. Do not avoid it. Even if it's unpleasant, it's difficult, we rather not go through it, we are not inclined, we feel uncomfortable, go through in faith with the Lord. There are many situations that believers avoid. And it's possible sometimes, though not all the time, sometimes some corners we cannot avoid and then we are upset. But there are some many situations in life that the Lord wants us to go through, but believers avoid them. Do not avoid whatever the Lord wants us to go through, even if we do not feel comfortable, even if we have to suffer through it. Trust the Lord and go through them well. But on the other hand, also just bear in mind that God doesn't require all to go through and learn and to be equipped in such unusual ways and contexts like Moses and Joseph in the wilderness, tending sheep or a slave and prisoner. God doesn't require all of us to go through such unusual contexts for our learning and being equipped by the Lord. But rather, God often lets us go through contexts of learning we can easily recognize as helpful. This just so that we do not just keep thinking about the situations like wilderness and slave and prisoner as we consider about Moses and Joseph. But there are many contexts which we can recognize more readily as helpful. For example, but I will not elaborate on these, just some brief remarks. For example, Elisha, his time with Elijah and learning together with Elijah and from Elijah. In such contexts we can more easily recognize. And Elisha was trained by the Lord and prepared for the ministry and spent much time with Elijah, attending to him and being with him. So going through situations together with Elijah, learning with him and learning from Elijah. Because Elijah was more mature, servant of the Lord at that point of time. Elisha was still being trained and growing. Elijah already had experience with the Lord. Or situations like Timothy and Paul. Timothy with Paul and learning from Paul. Going through various situations with Paul and learning from him. As I said, I don't intend to elaborate now, but just the principle that there are various contexts of learning we can more easily recognize as helpful. And the Lord does often lead us through these contexts. For example, healthy church life. The Lord wants us to be develop and train in such contexts. I mention this because on the one hand, though we may also go through also various unexpected experiences and situations which may not be our idea of conducive context for growth and development or what we would prefer to go through, especially difficult and unpleasant experiences. And that's one main aspect of what we've been covering today. Various contexts, quite unexpected, but may not be our idea of what is conducive, but the Lord knows, and it can be very important and helpful. Or even for some of us, going through periods where it appears to be our context rather uneventful. Parallel with the wilderness, although we may not be living in the wilderness, but we think our context rather uneventful day by day, nothing much seems to be happening. But in that context, the Lord may have many important, significant things to teach us, and it's the way He trained Moses. But though it is so, the various contexts which may not be our idea of what is suitable, we must be careful that we do not on our own choose to be in unusual contexts like deserts and prisons. And you think of Moses, Joseph, how helpful it was for them to go through such things. Just be careful. We do not on our own choose to be in such contexts like prisons and deserts. By that I do not mean that on our own we cannot choose to be in situations that are difficult. If we see it's fitting for us, or rather in the eyes of fitting for us to go through, in some contexts are difficult but important to train us, to be disciplined, to learn to be hard on ourselves. We considered this in earlier message from John the Baptist. We harden ourselves, be disciplined, and so on. But contexts like prisons and deserts, these are not places for us to choose on our own to go through. But such contexts can be desirable, and they are desirable if the Lord and sovereignty sees it fit for us to go through. And there's much that we can learn. So then, we stop here for today and reflect over briefly what we've covered. Brief summary. Today, the main thing that we want to consider is how we can properly learn from the Lord in all kinds of situations and contexts that the Lord sees it fitting for us to go through. Very important attitude and posture of seeking to learn in fellowship with God, whatever context and situations He sees fitting for us to go through. And many of us, we want to grow. And we may have our own ideas about situations and contexts which are conducive and helpful for us. So the question we consider is, what situations and contexts are conducive, helpful for our growth and development? And as we reflect through what Moses and Joseph went through, we can see that sometimes our own ideas of what is conducive and helpful may not be the best for us. And situations that come our way that we go through, or situations as we contemplate on them, they may not seem helpful or conducive for growth and development. And when we go through them, we may feel rather disturbed and upset, and we want to get out of them as fast as possible. But actually, such contexts may be very helpful, important, significant lessons the Lord wants to teach us on dealings with our lives, especially with the self-life and our character development and growing knowledge of God and the ways of God, learning to trust Him, the Lord's thoughts and the Lord's ways can be quite different from our own thinking, our own references, what we expect. So we saw how Moses, his earlier period of 40 years, raised in Egypt as Pharaoh's daughter's son, with all the education, wealth, plenty, honor, status, it appeared that it's a good place for him to be equipped, and he should be equipped. But we find that he was not ready for service. He made a mistake and had to flee for his life. And the idea that if he needed further training, it would be good for him to remain in that context. We find that God has other plans for Moses. He was to remain in the desert looking after sheep for 40 years, a context which may seem rather unconducive for training and development for one who is to assume significant responsibilities of leadership and the difficult task of leading the nation of Israel. But we see that during the 40 years, Moses learned much and was prepared and equipped by the Lord when the time came at the end of 40 years for him to begin his life work. We see that a major aspect has to do with the inward preparation of the man of God. His knowledge of the Lord, understanding of God and of himself, development of inward qualities, especially to deal with the self-life thoroughly. Whatever pride, self-confidence, whatever other fleshly ways within us, all this needs to be properly